my share of our inheritance. Jesus replied, "Friend, who has set me up as your judge and arbiter?" Then he told the crowd, "Avoid greed in all its forms. Your life isn't made more secure by what you own, even when you have made more than you need." Jesus then told them a parable in these words. "There was a rich farmer who had a good harvest. 'What will I do?' the farmer asked. 'I have no place to store my harvest.' 'I know. I'll pull down my grain bins and build bigger ones. All my grain and goods will go there. Then I'll say to myself, you have blessings in reserve for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to the farmer, 'You fool. This very night your life will be required of you. And then to whom will all your accumulated wealth go?' This is the way it works with people who accumulate riches for themselves, but are not rich in God." Then he said to the disciples, "That's why I tell you, don't worry about your life and what you are to eat. Don't worry about your body and what you are to wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Take a lesson from the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have neither a food cellar nor a barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Can any of you, for all of your worrying, add a single hour to your life? If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why worry about all the rest? Notice how the flowers grow. They neither labor nor weave, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, how much more will God look after you? You have so little faith. As for you, don't set your hearts on what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Stop worrying. All the nations of the world seek these things, yet your Abba God knows what you need. Set your sights on the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Fear not, little flock, for it has pleased your Abba to give you the kingdom. Sell what you own and give the money to poorer people. Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out, treasures that won't fail you in heaven that thieves can't steal and moths can't destroy. For wherever your treasure is, that's exactly where your heart will be." This is a word from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God. The season of Lent began on Wednesday, and it goes for the next 40 days, excluding Sundays. Sundays are excluded because they're always resurrection days. The name Lent itself, or the term Lent, it refers to the lengthening days as we move into spring and reminds us at the end of that, we will see new life. It's a journey. Lent is a journey toward Easter and the possibility that Easter offers something new for us if we take the journey. Lent is the journey toward new life. But as we all know, a new or changed life rarely happens in an instant. Now, some things bad happen, and that changes your life in an instant. But good changes very, very rarely happen in an instant. It takes the time, the journey, to develop new practices, new ways of thinking and behaving, and making the decision first to do things differently. And as you practice new things, new changes, one day you get to a point where you realize that your life has changed because you decided something and made the necessary adjustments to get you there. This is really the nature of change. Making the decision first, taking the small steps to get to something new. It's the journey of trying these things and finding out what works for you. So this year's journey through Lent, we're calling giving up. couple of weeks ago, I suggested, and somebody's already spoken to me this morning, I suggested that we start Lent on Wednesday by getting some boxes and putting things in these boxes that we want to get rid of. One a day. And when you got a box full, take it to wherever you want to get rid of it. Anybody doing that? Lots of people. I've got two boxes ready to go already. So it's a kind of a Lenten purge of stuff. The journey, though, we'll be on for the next 6 weeks in worship goes deeper than this physical purge. It's a soul purge captured in the ancient Greek word kenosis. Kenosis. Kenosis literally means a self-emptying. It is the process of ridding oneself of those aspects of our character that get in the way of living life fully as a human being and as conduits of God's love and grace. The term kenosis comes from the scripture passage in Philippians 2, where it refers to Christ's self-emptying to become human, fully human, in his incarnation. Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born as a human. So this point of giving up, of kenosis or self-emptying, is that when we are able to empty ourselves of those things that don't serve God, that get in the way of us being fully immersed in God and the life intended for us, we can then focus our lives on that which is good and worthy. So each week we'll focus on one quality or aspect of life that we might want to consider giving up as an act of deliberate emptying so that we might be open to that something new that Easter offers at the end of the journey. So we put together little passports for the journey. Everybody get one? The little passports? Yes? Anybody didn't get one? Okay, we got three over here. David, can we grab? You don't have any left? Oh, Bill's got them. So we've put together, you will receive these little passports with a cover sheet, and then each week you're going to receive a sheet that you can add to your passport to remind you of this journey through Lent. So it has a place in it to make notes if you want to make notes during the service. And on the back, during the reflection time, you might want to consider a plan that you might work on to work on this particular trait that we're focusing on that week. So to this week's service, which you'll see on your little sheet, your first sheet, perhaps one of the most pernicious qualities of humans is that of greed, which is our focus for today. Greed, of course, is one of the seven deadly sins that has been identified for centuries. And the deadly sins themselves, the seven deadly sins, are considered base conditions for humans that lead to perhaps other immoral behaviors or vices or unethical behaviors. They're the base sort of conditions of being human. And greed itself is defined as an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, control, food, alcohol, adrenaline, pleasure, or anything that we desire out of all proportion to our need. Greed compels us to keep seeking things even when we don't need them, and that would in fact be detrimental to ourselves or to others. So Jesus was speaking of greed in this story about the rich farmer. The farmer obviously had enough to live on. He wasn't hurting for anything. He had barns to hold all of his grain, but wasn't enough. So when he got more grain, he decided that bigger is better. So he pulled down all the barns he had, put up bigger barns to hold his grain. Then he decided he could sit back, kick up his feet, eat, drink, and be merry, as the scripture says, without having to do anything for years. And what did Jesus say to him? Fool. You fool, he says. You're doing all of this for nothing. Because tonight, everything's going to be lost. Your life's going to be lost. You could have used that to create a better legacy for yourself and to help others, but you hoarded it, and it has benefited no one. Did you catch the article this week I'm not sure where it came from or what newspaper it was in, but it was on super billionaires. Anybody see that? Super billionaires. Super billionaires are defined as those who have over $50 billion. Most of them over $100 billion, at least the top half of them. In 1987, less than 40 years ago, the Forbes list of the richest people in the world, less than 40 years ago, determined that there were enough billionaires in the world to start creating a billionaires list, less than 40 years ago. There were 140 billionaires then, in 1987. Now there are close to 3,000. Close to 3,000 super billionaires. Sorry, there are close to 3,000 billionaires, 24 super billionaires, over $50 billion. It's beyond, it blows my mind. It's unimaginable. When I was a kid, I couldn't imagine $1 million. $50 billion. These 24 super billionaires have more than the GDP of Canada. They're people with such big barns that they now control the world. So we can get on our high horse and say that billionaires are very greedy, and we pale in comparison to that. We're not immune to greed. Most of us think we might like $1 billion if we could get it. So that's why the Lenten journey is for all of us. We all struggle with greed, whether it's the insatiable desire to acquire more stuff than we need, whether we want more profit on our investments, a bigger bank account, unnecessary shopping or eating or whatever else we might desire on a daily basis and acquire. I realized when I pulled a receipt out of my pocket, code in my pocket today, that there are very few days go by when I don't buy something. Greed is insidious and often not noticeable because we're so used to it today. But how do you think the economy works? How Amazon and Walmart and Costco and auto manufacturers and Apple and Microsoft have become as big as they have. It's because of us. Because of our insatiable desire for stuff and wealth. It's not only damaging us, it is damaging the earth. To be quite honest, God is no longer given much thought these days in our day-to-day lives, nor is our faith really the thing that guides us. We have become blind to this fact. The God of the world is now money. The stock market and our desire to have more. We consume too much, we hoard too much, and we cut ourselves off from any kind of simple, beautiful life. And how did it happen? Is it our nature, actually, to be greedy? Some people think so. That's the basis of the seven deadly sins. It's in our nature. But what is it that drives the seemingly limitless, insatiable nature of greed? I'm going to say that maybe, or perhaps it is a symptom of a deeper malaise in our society today. And that is our inability, and maybe this has always been true, to clearly identify what we really need. And when we can't identify what we really need and get those needs met, we seek substitutes. And big business and technology gets that. They understand that about humans. And they are increasingly trying to distract us from ourselves and our real needs. They seek to give us a sense of security by encouraging us to keep buying or keep doing what they're offering. And if we can't define or we are confused about what we really need, we are going to pursue objects, activities, or goals that temporarily make us feel better about ourselves, but do not ultimately meet our deep longings. And what are our deep longings? If we stop to think about it for a little while, our deep desire is to belong, to be accepted, to be loved, to be safe, and to have a sense of purpose. Nothing of which costs. Not knowing how to meet our primary needs in a healthy way, we default to the things that are easily available to us and which people are more than willing to offer us. They can at least keep our growing dissatisfaction with the world at bay for a time. And as we seem to be becoming more isolated in our lives without community and connection, we substitute technology and stuff. And in many ways, it's a lot easier to sit at home on our technology, our TVs, whatever it is, our computers. It's a lot easier to go shopping than to maintain our relationships sometimes. But this false desire for something breeds more and more greed, as we just need more and more to fill the holes in our lives that we're not getting filled through our relationships and our community. In the evolution of civilization, do you know why humans developed security forces, police and military? To protect our property. There's no other reason for it. Early civilizations that started to develop villages and build homes, they hunter-gatherers couldn't carry much with them. But when you began to have a place, you could acquire stuff. And when you started acquiring stuff, you created a class of people who was security. So they would protect your stuff. That's what they're for. To keep people safe from those who would take what they have. Why else would we need it? People who trust each other and have good relationships have no need for security forces. We only need it when we want to keep what we have protected from others. When we want to protect our wealth and our power, we build up our police and our military. So is there an antidote to greed? There are two antidotes, actually. Jesus told us first off, generosity. Generosity is the antidote. Sell your stuff and give it to the poor, he said. Break your addiction to having more and start helping others. Give of yourself and what you have. When there's really nothing that you need to protect, we're free. Giving to others meets our needs better than holding on to or hoarding our things. What is the good of money or power if we can't use it for good? They have no intrinsic purpose in themselves, money or power. Jesus then spoke of giving what you have away and then acquire the treasures that money can't buy. Treasures in heaven, he called them. Treasures that no one can steal from us. They rest within us and cannot be stolen, lost, or broken. Things like peace, freedom, serenity, joy, connection to others, love. These are our real desires. Get rid of your stuff, he said, and seek those things. Secondly, figure out what you really need. What is it deep down you really need? And create a strategy for meeting those needs in a healthy way, ways that lead to enhanced life. The tenuous hold that we have on wealth and power are illusions. They can be gone in a flash, just like this farmer's story. And we all know that the world is becoming more and more uncertain and unpredictable these days. We will get through it only if we know what we really need and are willing to give up our attachments to things that might disappear. It will in the end boil down to how connected we are in our communities, how well we care for others, and how well we have connections. How do we build into our lives the strength that we need in the midst of such a fragile and uncertain future? We will do it by caring for each other, and not by replacing relationships with stuff and wealth. There is a dynamic going on in the world today, previously unseen, and that has the potential to destroy the world as we know it. The underlying impetus behind making the world or a nation great is greed. The desire for more power and wealth concentrated in just a few places at a great cost to many. There is nothing great about that. Building up power and wealth. Our tradition, our Christian tradition, reminds us that the purpose for having wealth and power, according to Jesus, is to be able to help others, is to be able to help the oppressed and the poor, to promote justice for all. That's great. Our ability to care for those who do not have enough or are under great threat, either through injustice or conflict. A great nation, a great society, is one that recognizes their responsibility to others, is unselfish. Jesus was very clear on this. You don't amass wealth and power to keep it to yourself. It's to be used for the good of all, to make the world a better place for everyone. And if we don't do this, as individuals and as nations, nothing is going to be great. We will crumble. So what can we do? First, we can be honest about our own greed, our own need, and be aware of what it is that we really desire. We won't meet our needs in healthy ways until we're able to identify what they are. That's the purpose of this journey of Lent this year. Self-emptying, giving up those things we don't really need. We set our hearts and minds on the end goal of a new life, something new emerging. Lives filled with joy, love, hope, compassion, humility. Creating space for the new to enter is our desire this Lenten season. Let's do the journey together. Let's take a moment for reflection.